Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I almost talked over the big voice guy. Can you believe that? We're, 3 months into the new show? I've never done that before. Almost happened today. Happy Thursday. Happy Bills game day. If you're heading out to the stadium, we'll talk about the game at 2:30. I'm heading out to the stadium after the show. Excited for the game. But I feel like there's a stretch of games here where it's like, yeah, I'm excited. But if the Bills don't win, there's a problem. I'll explain. There's always a problem the Bills don't win, but I'll explain what I mean later in the show. We'll also take your calls on the Jimmy Kimmel situation after the 1:30 news. However, we ended right after the announcement that the 33 Project, well, they're going back to the drawing board. We were on the phone with mayoral candidate Michael Gaynor when the show's over. So I promised time to kick off the show, and to kick off the show is independent mayoral candidate Michael Gaynor. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity, Joe. I appreciate it.
Now, to recap where we are, yesterday the DOT announced pretty much that they're doing a full reset on the 33. Michael, how do you take that news, and what would you like to see next from the DOT?
Well, I think that it's a win. It's a win for the city, the region, and for the community that was fighting for this outcome for the last 2.5 years, because it's a validation of all of our analysis and work and education and review of this tunnel project that we just believed would be a disaster for our community, both in the massive expenditure of money that it would be, but also for the health of the community. And in my opinion, as an incoming leader of the city of Buffalo, in terms of the long-term economic vitality of our city. And that's been kind of a rallying cry for me just in, choosing a project that is, the best project for our city over the long term, and for me, that means putting cars back onto the commercial streets that are part of the best designed city in the world, which we were once and we will be again. And it means a fully restored Frederick Law Olmsted Parkway system that I think will capture the imagination of tourists and residents for the next century. And I think that's part of a vision that really transforms Buffalo, and it's the reason I'm in this race.
And Michael, that vision that you are talking about, it sounds like more and more the people who live in East Buffalo, the people who live along the 33, this is what they support more than the tunnel that the state obviously was trying to convince everyone wanted. So when you have these public meetings, what different do you want to see at these public meetings this time than the first time around?
Well, I mean, I want to see something on par with what we have been organizing as a community for the last 2.5 years, which is a fully transparent, inclusive process where, there's an open invitation to members of the community to come in. Now, let me tell you, I've been involved in East Side organizing and city organizing for 20 years. And when you open up the conversation to everybody, it can be messy. But But the big thing here is that I can tell you unequivocally from my experience over the last 2.5 years working on this project that the majority of the Eastside community wants a project that is not the tunnel. They want to see some imagination. They want to see us prioritize the health of the community. You know, we got to remind folks that this community has some of the worst health outcomes in the country, not just in the state of New York, in the country. And, you know, COPD and asthma rates and cardiac disease and low life expectancy. But for me, you know, what also speaks to people is that we don't want to just see this short-term investment translate into a few jobs over 4 or 5 years. We want to see this investment leverage future investment, particularly along our commercial corridors, particularly where we can stimulate business when we have increased car volume on those streets. Now, don't get me wrong. We got to invest in those radial streets. We need to build the capacity of those radial streets so that they're efficient, so that they're timely, so that they're beautiful. And that's how we roll it out, right? I think that a lot of commuters might think, oh, I can't go on those streets. It's going to take too long, or, it's not safe or this or that. But we are going to address that. It's part of a bigger vision on how we transform the infrastructure in Western New York to accommodate our commuters and to accommodate our city residents. And I think that that's a holistic vision that we need to be considering.
So that's my next question is what to do with the traffic. And I hear what you're saying, but, a lot of people say, all right, so now I go from an expressway to Main Street. And, Michael, I graduated from college in 2011. I went to Madai.
Sure.
And yep. Main Street was in pretty rough shape in 2011. It really hasn't changed over the last 14 years. So would the goal be to keep up with those streets so there aren't the number of potholes and, and they are more accessible? How's that right. phase go on top of this?
Well, let me just say this, that we are in a different place and time now than we were 10, 15 years ago. People are removing expressways, other parts of the country. And the other thing is there's technology now that allows us to move traffic more efficiently. Technology, in full honesty, that the DOT is in possession of. And we're going to incorporate it. But yes, let's think about right now we have $1 billion on the table. If we're not spending $1 billion on a tunnel, we are spending that money on radial street reconstruction. And we are spending that money on how to revitalize these commercial corridors to make them more efficient, to make them more safe, to make them more efficient for commuters to move seamlessly through the city. And like I said, I want to make them beautiful and safe as well. So, yes, we got to do better than what we're doing on Main Street, but we have capacity. Like, we've analyzed the transportation data. And I know that a lot of people don't see how it's possible. But as my daughter will say, and my daughter's 10 years old, she'll be like, Dad, wouldn't it have taken 6 years to build the tunnel? I'm like, yeah, Derek. She's like, well, don't you think people have got to figure it out how they're going to use the other streets? And yes. If you're in West Seneca, you're going to jump on Seneca. If you're in Depew or Lancaster, maybe you jump on Broadway. And we're going to make strategic investments in that. And let me just tell you, at-grade improvements in infrastructure change and transformation is much cheaper than blasting and blowing and channeling and driving pilings and building retaining walls and building bridges. So, dirt is cheap. We got to truck it in and fill in the Kensington Expressway. At-grade improvements are much more manageable, they're much more efficient, and they're a lot less costly.
What about public transportation? We know that the Metro Rail is planning to expand into Amherst. When you have something sure. like this with the 33, if you take that expressway away from people in Amherst and Cheektowaga, would sure. there be a public transportation aspect, or would that be something you would propose to go along with this plan?
Well, here's the thing is, right, we, as the future leader of the city of Buffalo, I'm not planning for next year. I'm planning for 10 years out, 20 years out, 30 years out. And I will tell you that my plan is to grow the city. My plan is to bring more residents to the city. My plan is to bring more businesses and entrepreneurs and small business and supporting that small business community. I want an economic transformation, not just on the east side, but across Buffalo as a whole. And even though today, you know, you look at traffic volume counts that we're down to perhaps 55,000 cars a day on the Kensington Expressway, at some day in the future, we will have much more car volume on these streets. So we may not have the financial capacity right now to, you know, build a light rail out to the airport or a light rail to the Central Terminal and out to West Seneca and Orchard Park, but we should definitely plan for it. So as we revisit and we analyze and we examine these commercial corridors, we need to be thinking about future light rail. And we need to be thinking about, you know, the prospect of doing that and working with our partners at Citizens for Regional Transportation to make sure that the plans are in place to do that 10 years, 15 years, 20 years as funding becomes available and as demand, right, and population increases in our city and region. Because if you look at the state of the world, and we are positioned here in Buffalo to be a city that's on the growth path. We have an immense quantity of fresh water, a temperate climate. We're very climate resistant here. You know, we don't have hurricanes and tornadoes and craziness. We're in close proximity to the international border. We have an amazing business community here, an educated workforce. We got a lot going for us. Let's build on that and let's bring more people. Let's tell the world about Buffalo.
All right, Michael, what do you say to people like me who, you know, can't remember Bass Pro Shop, can't remember the Peace Bridge, can't remember the original casino, can't remember when we were told that reopening Main Street downtown would bring business downtown? They look at this and say, it's all talk, it's a waste of money, it'll never happen. What's your pushback to that?
My pushback is we need an independent leader that is going to make this a priority, right, and be a partner with the state of New York that makes sure that Western New York gets their due share, that gets the project that positions us for growth and it positions us for a healthy community and positions us for economic vitality. I've been in Buffalo 20 years. We haven't had that leader. We haven't had that voice. We haven't had that independent person that's not beholden to special interests, that's not beholden to a political party, that is speaking for the region and is speaking for the region's residents. And that's what I say is different today. I will also say, yes, we didn't get a Bass Pro Shop, but we got a transformed waterfront at Canal Side. There's good movement going at the Outer Harbor. There's good things that are happening because the state had to stop and respond to the needs of this community. And that's what happened on the Kensington, and we're going to see a transformation happen.
Michael, are you surprised that one of your opponents, Sean Ryan, has not commented on this move? He's running for mayor of Buffalo. The guy hasn't talked in over a month, and he made no statement on the state's decision.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, because not one political official has spoken on this project in almost 2.5 years to the affirmative in support of the community's desire to see a transformation here. I got nothing bad to say about Sean Ryan, but he has left the community behind on this project. He has left us out in the cold by ourselves and having to fend for ourselves. And I will tell you that if it weren't for the hard work and commitment of this community, of Eastside Parkways, of people that have stood with their money, with their time, with their energy, with their voices to evaluate this project and get a better outcome, all right, then there would be shovels in the ground and we would be building a tunnel today, right? This is why we need a transformation and leadership too. We need a leader for the city of Buffalo that listens to people, listens to all sides, and is going to make, you know, the best decision that's good for our communities, that's good for our business district, that's good for the future of our city. And that's the vision that I bring to this campaign, and that's the leader that I will be for the city of Buffalo.
Michael, why do you think the state got so behind the tunnel idea? Because in February of 24, Kathy Hochul, Governor Hochul, came to announce that we were on to the next phase, which obviously was a lie because we're not. And she said that if we didn't go forward with the tunnel, that Buffalo would lose the funding. Well, we heard from Rich Fontana yesterday, that's not true. The funding is still in place. Why was the state pushing this tunnel idea and making it sound like everyone approved of it?
Hey, look, the state had an agenda, okay? The state wanted shovels in the ground. They wanted to see a tangible project on the east side. They were trying to leverage federal dollars through transportation funding and this connecting communities opportunity. This had been a conversation that had been going on for 15 years. They were impatient and ready to just rock through the process and make it happen. And, you know, I'm grateful that my neighbors, because I'm an East Side resident business owner as well, you know, weren't willing to just settle for any kind of expenditure. They wanted the best project. And yes, are we going to have to, you know, take a little pause and reevaluate? Is it going to stall the initiation and the start of this project? Yes. But in 5 or 10 years, we're not going to be thinking about the fact that this project got held up. We're going to be thinking about and celebrating the fact that the right project got done. And that's got to be our priority. How many times do we look back on history and say, we made the wrong decision with this project or that project? We're going to make the right project happen now. And we're going to do it because the community and our political leadership are going to stand up for it. And let me just tell you, when I'm elected, we're going to make sure that the city of Buffalo is driving this project and making sure that the best project outcome is delivered to these communities. And it's going to be a transformation, and people are going to be like, wow, something special is happening in Buffalo. And then we're going to tell the world about that. And we're going to grow this city, and we're going to bring more attention and focus to Western New York, a city that has underachieved in many ways, all right, and is not reaching its full potential. And not because there aren't creative people here, not because there aren't doers here, but because we've been stifled by not the strongest leadership team for many, many, many years. And we're going to make a change. We're going to bring a lot of very insightful, creative people. We're going to put together a world-class team at City Hall, and we're going to see changes that we never believed were possible.
Michael Gaynor, running for mayor of Buffalo. Michael, I know we'll talk again before the election, and thank you so much for giving us some time this afternoon.
Hey, Joe, I so appreciate the opportunity, and tell your listeners, michaelgaynorformayor.com. They can find more information.
That is Michael Gaynor running for mayor. So we've talked to Michael. We've talked to James Gardner. Just this week, we've talked to two of the three candidates for mayor. Sean Ryan, again, was invited to Hardline this weekend. And by the way, if Sean Ryan had accepted the Hardline invitation, we would have had Michael and James Gardner probably on again Sunday. But Sean Ryan has been invited to the show, and he continues to reject it. Again, he told the Buffalo News that he's been doing radio interviews and television interviews. I have not found any proof of that. I haven't found any proof of Sean Ryan campaigning. I haven't found any proof of Sean Ryan at parades. But he told the Buffalo News that he has been as campaigning as hard as he was during the primary. You know, in a time where everyone has a camera on their phone, you think you'd see a little bit of proof of that. So that's Michael Gaynor talking about it, and Michael knows how I feel. I think we're going to go through all this. We'll go through the environmental impact study. I think my child will be in college, and the 33 will look exactly as it does today. The 198 will look as exactly as it does today. Again, I kind of feel like Brian. I kind of feel like Mazurowski said it either this morning or yes. I think it was this morning. He said to David, he just wants to see something get done to prove that something actually could get done. I said this to you guys yesterday. I didn't think there'd be a stadium. Like, now that the stadium's up, okay, they built a new stadium. But, I mean, I even question that. We have been let down so many times in Western New York. Again, agree with what Michael was saying or not, whatever is approved here, right behind the station is the 990. The 990 was supposed to go into Lockport. They ran out of money and just dumped it onto Millersport. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm in an area full of incomplete projects. So I just can't get my mind behind thinking anything's going to happen on the 33. But Michael, and you've heard from Terry Robinson, you've heard from a lot of people on the East Side Parkway Coalition. Betty Jean Grant called in yesterday. She's running for Erie County Legislature. They have passion, and I will give them that. Agree with them or not, the people involved in this project, they have the passion, and hey, it's part of their passion that got the DOT to move back to the drawing board. And so I do applaud them for that. I hear what Michael's saying about the streets and where the traffic would go. I think that's a big question that's definitely going to be continuing to come back. And at the end of the day, I've lived here long enough to know until it's done, I'm going to just assume that it doesn't get done. I hate to be that negative. You know, I try to be a very positive person. 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, I see a lot of people talking about Jimmy Kimmel on social media. I'd love to know what you think about the situation. I'll tell you what I think and play you some audio. When we come back, it's Beamer on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Monster Ballads. I am digging the music from, I think Monster Ballads would be one of those CDs I would never press the skip button. We're back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Want to get into the Jimmy Kimmel controversy, but we do have a couple callers that want to comment on the 33 Project. And of course, if it's what you want to talk about, it's what I want to talk about. We're going to take these in order. So we'll start in the Falls with Ken. Ken, your thoughts on the DOT decision to reset?
Well, I don't. They need. Here's the thing of it is everybody wants to have what everybody else has. But I have to reflect back to Bob Wilmers, who used to be the M&T bank president, and he said something at a Smart Growth, and you know I've gone through all of the Smart Growth and all of these other programs here in Niagara Falls, and we couldn't even make it happen here. But what Wilmers had said to the young folks who had come up from Washington, D.C. to explain and express what they thought that Buffalo should be like. And that is smart growth, how to get walkable streets and bicycles and all of these other things that would work well someplace in Philly and south of Philly and these other towns where there is no snow. What's going to happen in the future? And this is in the near future. When we start to talk about transportation, ground transportation, and personal vehicles, these things may not be what they are. You know, he's a young man here, and he's excited. You know, you talk about what's happening along the shoreline and the highway, taking out the 190 and all of that other stuff. You have to figure out why it was put there in the first place. When the Robert Moses Parkway was being, or power plant was being built, you had to put those stones someplace. You didn't want to put them on real estate property. So you put them on the waterfront, and your waterfront, for a lot of it, would not even exist had it not been for that waterfront expansion of the 190s and being able to get the electric power plant up, built, and online in order that we could do the things that we need to have productive. Transportation may not be a big problem. Personal transportation may not be a big problem, you know, 15, 20 years from now, because of smart automobiles. When we start to look at, well, how are we going to manage all of this? The cars are going to be interconnected with each other. There will be a machine someplace in City Hall that is maintaining a traffic flow that is going to be efficient and safe and the type of vehicles that you're going to be using. And today we're looking. We're having an Amazon distribution center built up just outside of Niagara Falls in the town of Niagara. We have people who are doing DoorDash and all of these other things. You go, you call up Wegmans and give them an order. You don't need the automobile like you once needed the automobile because people are bringing things to you. So we start to look and say, what is going to be in the future where people will have to go any place because you'll have so many people working from home anyway that the only things that you have to recognize or try to engineer is the water holes that people want to go to after work to get out of the house, to get out of the plants. We don't want the plants here anymore anyway. That's crazy. And one of the strengths of Buffalo, the greatest strength of Buffalo was the Erie Canal. Well, that's gone. So then how do you build, as Bob Wilmers had said, a right-sized city? Has anyone sat down and say, look at our assets that we have here now, today, the assets that exist today, and that the people that are here today, the conditions that are here today, and say, let's use this as a starting point. We don't have to grow the population of Buffalo. They grew the population of Amherst, and you see what happened out there. And you got to be careful of talking about growth. But what we should have more on mind rather than growth is efficiencies of serving the people, efficiency of making the town, well, how big does the town, how populous must the town be that we can manage all of these assets that probably won't be used in the future? Take a look at that COVID thing. You had all kind of office space and people were working from home. Well, that was a workable model because we're all going to be interconnected. And then you have to look at AI. How often are you going to have to go out and do anything after you have artificial intelligence and all of these other things? So we get to the 33. The 33 should not only be reevaluated, but it should be stopped. And now I'm going to say this, and I don't like saying it sometimes, but I am an African American and I'm familiar with the Humboldt Parkway. And the whole idea about progress is not you getting to stay where you are, but you get to move someplace else. And if you want all of these new homes in Buffalo and all of these other things where they're not having a turn on your money, then what are you really planning for other than doing the silly stuff we do here in Niagara Falls and just build public amenities just because they look good instead of what is the functionality of what you're trying to achieve in the next 50 years, at the end of the next 50 years, is what we really need to be looking at every place instead of, okay, we're going to change this for that change. Well, all we're doing is changing corrections around the city and the state area because this is what we feel is good for right now. But if we look ahead, as the Sioux used to do, seven generations, but we only have to do it to three generations, what would life be here like then? And then we have to really begin to engineer for those real-life situations that's going to be rapidly changing. But leave the 33 the way it is. Sit down and think about what you're trying to do. You want a park when the kids don't go to the parks anymore.
Right, you know, Ken, and obviously we're talking to the great Ken Hamilton. Ken, I think about to what you say about AI and less people, more people working from home. I kind of hope that we start getting away from that and go back to people going out and being in the office. That sounds like a really dark place to be when so little people are actually leaving their house on a daily basis.
Well, then that's the way that it is to you. But I go back to Bob Wilmers. I mean, he took M&T from where it was and made it a great bank. He understood real estate and things like this and the subjects of which we're speaking. And that this is maybe what you want, but it's more important to get what do you need to prepare yourselves for when your kid is in college, for instance. What would life be like in other places that are not just building amenities because they look good? And I hate to say this, the one thing that a politician likes, any politician, is something new because the people get excited, and then the next thing you know, for the next 30 years, 40 years, you're paying for a project that should have been done well enough the first time.
Exactly. Ken, I get it, and be more, you know, instead of what I want the future to be more realistic is also...
After what the future is. The future is already telling you what it's going to be like.
No.
You know, have you ever watched the Jetsons? My goodness, for 30 years in the future, we might not have to worry about streets because we'll be flying through the air.
And that's...
So what can we do now in order to prepare for tomorrow?
For sure, for sure. Hey, Ken Hamilton, always great hearing your great insight and your voice, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That is Ken Hamilton, 803-0930, star 930. And, you know, as much as I want to see more people out, Ken's right. I mean, we are getting to a place where more people are content being home, even getting their groceries sent to them. Believe me, I dropped off a few groceries this morning. So, I completely get it. But, you know, I had to push back a little because I'd like to see more and more people going back and the streets busy and people leaving and people socializing again, but Ken's right. Patrick in Cheektowaga. Patrick, your thoughts on the 33 reset.
Yeah, hey, Joe. Nice to talk to you. Say, listen, I have a little different take on this $1 billion. Boy, that's a lot of dough. And I'm thinking, I just sat down and jotted down a couple of numbers, thinking the East Side is such desperate need of rebuilding, I'm just thinking you can build $4,250,000 homes on the East Side for that kind of money. And they could be stick-built homes, you know, that are built in the places like Barden and different places that put prefabricate homes, and build them on site, put hundreds of carpenters and plumbers and electricians to work. Boy, and how's some of the people that are so in desperate need?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Patrick, you think about the governor always said this has to be roads, has to be roads. Well, she also told us that if we didn't have the tunnel, we wouldn't have the money. So I think we can look into, hey, what else can we use this funding on? Because you're right. There's a lot that can be done to help the east side of Buffalo. And, you know, on that list, there's a lot more things higher up the list than what you're going to do with the 33.
Absolutely. I mean, you could get some architects. Everybody want to kick in on a project like that. You get some architects to put together a half a dozen, 6 or 8 or 10 different designs. Maybe smaller houses. $250,000 will build a pretty nice home in a factory, and they could be a shotgun type house. Could have a garage in the front, which would get all kinds of solve the parking problem in the winter around Buffalo for plowing. That people can put their car in, they put one car in a garage and one in the driveway, and have plenty of room for a beautiful home. And I think that had just come to life. And I'm 90 years old, so I've been around Buffalo a long time. And I remember I was a little kid. There was a fellow who used to work for my dad. And I used to play with his son. I'd go down to, they lived down Monroe Street. And we went down there and played and had a heck of a good time. And I was a little blonde, blue-eyed kid down there and playing stickball and having a ball. People were cooking out on the street. It was a wonderful place in that day. And there was no empty lots. There was homes and families and dads, and boy, you couldn't beat church on Sunday. They all went, and it was a wonderful community, and I think it's retrievable.
Yeah, and I think you're right about a lot of people would sign on. They'd love to have their name associated with the revitalization of the east side of Buffalo. Hey, Patrick.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it'd be redone at $250,000 a house, and I think it'd be a pretty nice stick-built house.
Hey, Patrick in Cheektowaga, thank you. 803-0930, star 930. Now, last night, if you were watching the news last night, you were on ABC maybe. Here it's WKBW Channel 7. It's, you know, other channels in other parts. But if you were watching a local newscast on Channel 7, and maybe you were thinking, ooh, I'll get to watch Jimmy Kimmel. Well, this is what the end of the news sounded like. On local ABC affiliates.
That's the news for tonight. I'm Mike Morrison.
And I'm Sade Bérénoir. Sleep tight. Peace and love.
It's time for Celebrity Family Feud.
That's right.
Roll out the red.
The Family Feud was on last night at 11:30. That's because Jimmy Kimmel was suspended for his comments on Charlie Kirk. And you're probably thinking, all right, Joe, what were those comments? Here is what Jimmy Kimmel said on Monday. Now, let me remind you, this was on Monday. So all this talk of he could have, he was going to apologize. He had a show on Tuesday. He didn't say anything, right? So here's what Jimmy Kimmel said about Charlie Kirk and about MAGA on Monday's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns.
Now, I think that's piped-in laughter. I don't think people are actually laughing. Stephen A. Smith said it best, where's the joke? Right? And Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, hey, he doesn't like Trump. That's not a crime. A lot of people don't like Trump. But I think he took it too far on Monday. He was putting the lie out there that the shooter was MAGA. And, I mean, there are still people on the political left who believe the shooter is MAGA. Let's completely ignore the evidence. Again, not that that's a huge deal. I mean, the shooter is a disgusting person and, is going to pay the price, right? But, again, to try to align this make a cheap joke on the assassination of Charlie Kirk, it was in poor taste, and people were complaining to their local affiliates. Now, there's, every elected Democrat Eric Swalwell, who is just a joke of a human, he put a Jimmy Kimmel Live hat on before going into an interview on CNN. Watching CNN last night, I have to tell you, so the news came down, and I told my wife, I said, well, obviously the Mets are playing, but we've got to flip back and forth between CNN. And CNN for 3 hours last night was funnier than Jimmy Kimmel has been since The Man Show. I mean, the freak out. And again, these are the same people that wanted you canceled for something you said in high school. They wanted you canceled because you questioned an experimental vaccine. They wanted your Facebook page and social media completely taken away from you because you mentioned ivermectin. They took, at the time, the former president of the United States completely off social media. Remember that? Do you forget? They took the president of the United States off social media. So I'm sorry if I'm not sympathizing with the political left that their hero, Jimmy Kimmel, has been suspended. But this was not an FCC thing. Can we stop? The FCC did not suspend Jimmy Kimmel. ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel. And if ABC, if Jimmy Kimmel was making the network money, I believe Jimmy Kimmel would still be on the air. And they would... Again, right or wrong, ignore the critics. I think ABC was looking for a way out. Nexstar and Sinclair helped them find that way out of Jimmy Kimmel. Again, I think what he said on Monday, he lied. He lied. And again, to try to make a joke, there was no joke there, nothing funny. But to make that statement about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, again, to try to tie in the shooter to MAGA, when we know that's not the case, ABC did what a lot of people had called on them to do. But this is not a freedom of speech issue, right? Can I remind you, The View is still on ABC. The View is still on. George Stephanopoulos still works at ABC. Matt Gutman still works at ABC after what he did with the text messages a few days ago. So can we stop with the FCC? Oh my God, this is a dictatorship. The left is obviously using this as an excuse to ramp the temperature back up. They were all for turning down the temperature 2 days ago. Now it's all back up. We've got elected officials going back to calling Trump a fascist. He's a dictator. Again, a week later, we're back to turning the temperature up. It's boiling hot. Geraldo Rivera, I can't believe I'm saying this, Geraldo Rivera said it best. The country is walking on eggshells. Right? The temperature's hot right now. And, you know, Charles Schumer. Charles, there's nothing better to talk about than Jimmy Kimmel Live. I mean, and this goes back to the Colbert thing, too. And I'm against the clock. I'll get more into this. But this is like Colbert, too, right? It's all the nerds who felt cool because they were on a late-night show, now upset that they've lost both their outlets. Because, say what you want about Jimmy Fallon, for the most part, Fallon has, you know, actors and actresses and people in Hollywood on his show. And comedians. All right, I'm up against the clock. I got more to say, but we got to get to news. Stay tuned for the news with Tom Puckett. I'll be back after that on WBEN with your calls, 803-0930, star 930. Yeah, how fitting. The Disney World commercial just on the TV at the Mets game. As we're talking about Jimmy Kimmel and ABC. ABC suspending the late night host. Now, again, people are claiming that this was the FCC's doing or this was President Trump's doing. ABC is the one who suspended Jimmy Kimmel. Their affiliates, owned by Nexstar and Sinclair, said that their affiliates would no longer be carrying the Jimmy Kimmel show for now. They indefinitely would be preempting Jimmy Kimmel. Now, ABC, if you look at ABC's biggest affiliates, are owned by ABC, right? New York, LA, the big market ABCs, a lot of them are owned and operated by Disney themselves, by ABC. So, ABC made the decision to suspend Jimmy Kimmel. And I will continue to say, you watch a day of ABC programming and tell me that this is a network that is manipulated by the Trump administration. Again, unless I can't see anyone making that claim. The View is on every day on ABC. George Stephanopoulos, who I'm not sure, you might be new to politics, ran the Clinton campaign, is on, it pretty much runs Good Morning America and ABC News. So this isn't some conservative buddy of the president in ABC. They made a decision based on people's complaints. And I believe they also made a business decision. This was their excuse to get rid of Jimmy Kimmel. I wouldn't be surprised. I was telling our program director, Lisa Polizzi, I said I wouldn't be surprised if they put Nightline, which is now sitting at 12:30. No one even remembers Nightline. Put that back at 11:30, right? I mean, they have the program, the old ABC. It's just not profitable. Right now, I don't think, you know, everyone says, oh, watch, NBC is going to get rid of Fallon next because of what Trump put on Truth. No, I think Fallon and Seth Meyers and Saturday Night Live are pretty safe. Why do I say that? Because NBC originated late night television. That is part of their legacy. And again, I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, yeah, he has politicians on every now and then. It's not every freaking show like Colbert and Kimmel. Right. Fallon doesn't make every show about politics. Seth Meyers, on the other hand, he does. He's also on at 12:30. Seth Meyers is left of Colbert. But again, that's not what this comes down to. This comes down to offensive comments made. And, you know, the same people that wanted Roseanne gone, the same people who have tried to cancel numerous conservatives, the same people who didn't want to draft Josh Allen because of stuff he said on tweets in high school, now they're freaking out. And again, you're telling me the best thing that our members of Congress and Senate can do is get on TV and complain about Jimmy Kimmel being suspended? That's the best? That's the best we have to do? Because I will say this. Yeah, I think Jimmy Kimmel's show was trash. But that doesn't matter, right? There's a lot of shows on TV I can't believe are still on. But hey, if they're making money, there's people that can't believe I have a show. There are people on the political left that think if they don't like something, it should be canceled. I don't feel that way. Colbert will be on TV again after the CBS thing is over, right? Like, he's going to get a job. I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Kimmel doesn't get a job. There are consequences for things you say. And what Jimmy Kimmel said, in my opinion, is out of line. And obviously in ABC's opinion was out of line. And his show is not worth the critics. Now, there are shows that are worth the critics. So, again, I look at this as ABC was looking for an excuse, and they got rid of him. I don't think that that ABC listened to the chairman of the FCC on the Benny Johnson podcast and started freaking out and suspended Jimmy Kimmel. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to David. Let's talk to Dave in Williamsville. Hey, Dave.
David, unless you want me to call you Joey.
All right. David, I apologize.
Fair enough. Okay. just so you know, it's academic whether you like the show or not.
Any I just
show.
Said that.
Wait,
yeah.
And that's why I'm echoing you. But the difference is, presidents hated Jay Leno. Presidents hated, different talk show. The difference is Trump is pressuring with his statements to pressure the networks to get rid of the guys that annoy Trump. That's the difference.
So you think because of stuff he put on True Social that they suspended Jimmy Kimmel?
Well, I don't know what he put on Truth Social. I know that they're going to respond to what Trump puts out there and know that, well, if the president doesn't like him, a large part of their audience won't like him. Because Trump says, I don't like these guys. I don't like what they say about me. They make fun of my weenie. And so I got to get rid of them. And that's different than what either, Nixon or Reagan or, Obama. They didn't squelch political satire.
Well, David, I'll let you finish, but I actually think what you're saying is not true. I mean, Kimmel and Colbert got massive ratings in the first term of Trump because Trump didn't like them. I mean, it actually helped those shows when he would talk about them in the first term. So I don't think the numbers correlate to what you're saying.
Oh, I think you're misassigning that. Yeah, they mocked him out, and Trump didn't like him. But now he's saying much more about them specifically. He's using his platform to get the networks to pressure them or to get the networks to just say, sorry, we can't carry you. So, yes, they never liked him, but now Trump is being much more vocal or whatever form of communication he's choosing to pressure them off the air so he doesn't have to listen to their jokes.
I see where you're coming from. I just don't see him. I don't see him saying anything more than he was saying in his first term. So my question is, what has changed?
Oh wait, you haven't heard the difference in the way he's texting or Xing or whatever his platform. The difference that he's addressing these comedians mostly, but the people who speak ill of him, he's much more aggressive against them this second term. And because of his aggression towards them, the networks are saying we can't afford to lose 40% of our viewing audience.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part I push back on. I don't think 40% of Jimmy Kimmel's viewers are Trump supporters.
Yep. No, what I mean is any 40% of the American public, let's say, is, you know, steadfast Trump
right.
supporters. So it's not whether it's Kimmel's show, it's not whether it's Colbert's show, it's not whether it's Carson's show or Jay Leno's or, you know, David Letterman. It doesn't matter which the particular show might be. It's that you don't want to lose 40% of your audience if the president says, I don't like these guys. And that's the difference. Nixon could have said, I hate Johnny Carson. But people would say, well, sorry.
Well, Nixon had other things going on.
Yeah, and what I mean is not comparing Trump to Nixon, but the idea is they just don't want to lose that big of a percentage, and 40% of America kind of jumps through the hoops that Trump wants them to jump through, namely, don't watch Colbert because I don't think he's funny. That's a pretty different way of a president. I'm not talking about, you know, a lieutenant governor being having their fanny chapped by comedians. I'm talking about just people, a president using the most powerful office on the planet to get rid of shows.
So you think the wrong thing is Trump commenting on these shows, that he shouldn't be putting those posts out there? I've been very critical of Trump's social media.
I don't think it should matter to him. And the fact that it does is kind of like, wow, I thought the president would really be more, have a thicker skin and be more Teflon and just say, you know what, I don't care what they say because of what I'm doing, my policies. But he cares about late night jokes.
I mean, again, I would say, I mean, he has been critical of Jimmy Kimmel since he's become president. And you know, Kimmel made the statements on Monday. He had Tuesday's show to apologize and didn't. I think these were and you could be right, but I think the consequences were Monday. I also think ABC was looking to ditch the show anyway.
And that may very well be possible that they said, okay, now we can get rid of him without as much of a complaint. But Colbert seemed to be doing quite well, and they pulled him. So I don't know. I just think that I really
that's an interesting argument because you're saying something that I had not. You know, I've heard people talking about the FCC chairman. You're the first one to say actually look at what the president's been saying. I haven't seen that. I would, David, again, just to push back a little bit. President Trump has been, he has a on-again, off-again relationship with Fox News, and I would say that their numbers have never suffered, even when Trump is at a disagreement with people on Fox.
I would agree, but they know, Fox News knows that their primary audience is very loyal to Trump, even if Trump says, don't watch Fox News. And I don't think Trump has never said, don't watch Fox News. What Trump has done is specified shows that seem to kind of get under his skin with their humor. And I just wish he would spend more time, as my president, I wish he would spend more time on presidential concerns, not on what late night boneheads are saying about him.
Yeah, I'm not going to push back on that. Like I said, I have been critical at times of the president's social media use. I just, again, until ABC gets rid of The View or CBS gets rid of John Dickerson, I have a hard time saying that this is because of pressure from the president. That's just where I you know.
Oh, okay. Has the president, for instance, ever commented on The View? Because I just don't know.
Regularly.
Oh, he does.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I must admit I don't watch enough TV to know the bigger ecosystem.
But I will say this. So I'm consistent. As much as I think it's hilarious that these Democrat politicians are all crying about Jimmy Kimmel today, I can agree with you and say that I think there's bigger fish to fry as the president than talking about people who are being critical. With that said, I still believe that ABC took a move because of what Jimmy Kimmel said on Monday. But
yes.
I understand. I don't disagree with your criticism of can we focus on what's going on? Because if I did, I would be a hypocrite.
Joe, and well said. You know, that's all I was wondering is, you know, there are bigger issues. And just wishing, you know, our president would just spend time on things besides these late night guys.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think, David, even some of the president's strongest supporters would agree with you. David in Williamsville. Hey, I mean, again, I don't think that's why ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel. I think it had to do with pressure from Monday's comments. I mean, listen, we're a little over a week from when Charlie Kirk was assassinated because of his opinions, right? I think any host doing anything other than saying this is an awful moment and we need to use it to come together, I think that's a problem. Again, trying to tie the shooter and say that MAGA is killing their own, a lot of people, including me, you know, did not take that well. And the business of media, which I'm in, is to get advertising and to make money. So if people are going to stop watching your program, if affiliates are going to stop airing it, you know, again, I think Netflix and Sinclair had a lot to do with this because they, one after another, said that their affiliates would be preempting Jimmy Kimmel for the foreseeable future. And hey, with that said, yes, you have the freedom to be critical of our government, to be critical of the president. I still do not believe that Colbert or Kimmel are being fired, or suspended, because they don't like the president. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think Colbert, CBS wants to get out of the late night business. You know, David Letterman was printing money for him. Colbert, is not. And yes, I even think that he got a spike in viewers because the president's been critical of him. It's actually worked in his favor. The problem is that is not profitable for CBS. And we'll see. Jimmy Kimmel could be back next week, and we have talked about it all day. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC have talked about it all day. Jimmy Kimmel could be back tomorrow. It's an indefinite suspension. But again, you're trying to tell me that Jimmy Kimmel's off the air because he makes fun of the president. The View is still on the air, right? John Dickerson, who cried on election night with Stephen Colbert about Trump being elected, is the anchor of the CBS Evening News. So I'm sorry if I do not buy into these people are being, their shows are going away because they don't like Trump. I don't think that has anything to do with it. And again, I think what Kimmel said on Monday, on top of the fact that ABC might be looking to get rid of the show anyway, I think that's what played into it. 803-0930, star 930, your thoughts. But I will say, I can't be a hypocrite. There are parts of what David said that I agree with. I think, you know, President Trump could just let these kind of things play out. Right, I can't, you know, make fun of Charles Schumer and Eric Swalwell getting on every camera that is by them to cry about Jimmy Kimmel if I don't say, well, you know, the president could also maybe not comment as much on it. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. 803-0930, start 930, back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, Monster Ballads. We're going through it here with our bumps for, I think Tanner and I agreed for another week because it is a two-disc set. 803-0930, star 930. And, you know, before I get to the calls, one last thing. You know, Colbert, Kimmel, they were paid to be comedians, and they kind of turned their shows into, you know, political shows. And again, you know, political-leaning shows, that's fine. I very often do political-leaning shows, but I'm paid to talk, you know, about my opinions. Not that Kimmel and Colbert can't give their opinions, but again, when your show is every week, Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, people don't want to watch that. But again, I'm not buying that this is Trump taking Kimmel and Colbert off. I think Colbert is gone because it wasn't profitable. CBS is out to get money, and ABC, a lot of people were upset, including me, with the comments Kimmel made on Monday. And, when, you know, 20 some affiliates say they're not going to carry the show anymore, it makes you think. Is Jimmy Kimmel worth the hassle? But it is difficult, and again, I would tell all these people, it's difficult to sit here and convince somebody that Jimmy Kimmel got suspended because of Donald Trump when The View is still on. Doesn't seem like anyone online that's running their mouth for the last 12 hours wants to cover that one. Let's go to Debbie in the Falls. Debbie's been very patient. Hey, Debbie, thanks for hanging on.
Hi there. Interesting. I agree with you, not with your last caller, about the reason for Kimmel being let go for now. I also did want to just mention, I do want to make another comment about that. Been a media blackout in the Channel 2, 4, and 7 television stations. I haven't heard anything. Now, maybe I'm wrong, so I'm calling to see. Has anyone seen anything at all about what was supposed to go on last night in Niagara Square? Was it covered? And then I do want to say, and the several hundred people that came to Great Wolf Park Sunday night, one station did a television broadcast, mentioned it in there, but Channel 7 WKBW mentioned it, the Sunday night Great Wolf Park Charlie Kirk Memorial. The other two stations, I couldn't find anything mentioned about that, and I haven't been able to find anything today about the supposed rally in Niagara Square that for Charlie Vigil or Charlie Kirk Vigil. Do you know anything about it? Has anything been certainly it's been kept very quiet. I would think there would have been more coverage on the North Tonawanda Grantwood Park Vigil.
Well,
you tell me what you know, please.
Channel 2 did do a story on it. I don't see the other two sites having a story about it. I've heard nothing but great things. I know a few people who were out there last night at the vigil. It was a beautiful vigil downtown from everything I've heard.
How many people were reportedly there? I mean, wouldn't you, another thing. I think it's very odd that the other two stations didn't cover anything on Grantwood Park, and there wasn't more of a mention of it, the Niagara Square vigil or memorial. If there's even 100 people gathering in Niagara Square, it's usually, I mean, it's new, so why the blackout on the other two stations for Sunday night, the media silence, let me just say that, and why minimal coverage the last night, Sunday night, Charlie Kirk Memorial? It'd be really interesting to have whoever's in charge of that on your show to find out why or answer questions, just like you do with, and it's so appreciated, just like you do with the government officials. But yeah. Anyhow, do you know what? Has anybody said anything? I'm not on Facebook, so I'm just wondering what's going on.
All I can think for when it comes to the stations is all I can think of is, you know, you only have so many people in the newsroom. You know what I mean? Again, is that an excuse? I'm not saying it is.
A couple hundred people, you'd think they'd want to cover it. I mean, they did cover the other stories.
No,
I have to disagree with you. I realize, you know, every place is short staffed. But hopefully I'm wrong, but it just seems like, and we all know, when Trump gets out of office, the next Democrat, all of the conservative voices will be blocked from Facebook, will be blocked from YouTube. Our speech will be silenced again, and I'm expecting that to happen. But with this, even you'd think a couple hundred people would be covered more. They channel the other two stations, which are 2 and 4, didn't send anybody to Grantwick. And I'm wondering why they all didn't do a story on Sunday night. If any of your listeners know, please let me know why this story isn't covered. That in itself would be a story with 100 or maybe 150 people, or I don't even know how many would have been there, and it not being covered. It seems disconcerting, but I'm asking our audience to see if anyone knows the answer, or would you, in your station, be interested in interviewing those other two broadcast channels that didn't cover it?
We will get you that answer, Debbie. I will say something that you said before. It is a pendulum, and it will swing back left one day, and yeah, you're right. I mean, and then we're going to see what we saw at the end of the Trump administration the first time. I mean, he was kicked off of all social media. If you question the vaccine, you were kicked off social media. Yeah, you're right. It's our politics is a pendulum.
Yeah. Couldn't even just express a question about it. So anyhow, that's why. Well, anyhow, if you know the answer, or any of the callers do, if anything really went on, I mean, how many people were there? And
well, Debbie, remember, we covered the vigil in North Tonawanda. We were part of the. But I know you're talking about the TV stations, but
I'm calling about television.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know. I just want to I want to praise our newsroom for making sure we got that story. Debbie, appreciate it. 803-0930, star 930. 750 people out at the vigil last night in downtown Buffalo. I had a few people texting me some pictures and videos from that downtown. It was beautiful. And again, on Sunday, we will be carrying the Charlie Kirk funeral right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. That follows Meet the Press, which follows my show. We will have Charlie Kirk, an American original, which is a Fox News special at 1, and then the Kirk funeral following at 2. Again, that's Sunday after Meet the Press, which is after Hardline, which is after Hall of Famer Hank Nevins. So we got you covered here on Sunday. And, you know, Debbie does make a point there. When the pendulum does move back and, you know, the liberals are in charge again, they like to do everything behind closed doors, but I mean, they had no problem censoring speech during COVID. They had no problem. They did more than censor speech. They didn't let you leave the state. They told you you couldn't interact with people who didn't live in your house. Then we get the paper and the story about the county executive and his relationship. But anyway, we were told that you weren't allowed to leave your house. You're not allowed to interact with people you don't live with. If you questioned the government, you got censored on Facebook, on Twitter. If you said the vaccine, by the way, if you said the vaccine doesn't protect you against COVID-19 that you could still get sick, you would have been censored. And then guess what we found out? Oh, yeah, you can still get sick after getting the vaccine. You can still get other people sick. Remember, everything they told you initially turned out to be a lie. If you get two vaccines, you're not set for life. You can still get COVID. Some people are finding out if you get 20 booster shots, you can still get COVID. But if you had said that in the early days of the Biden administration, Facebook would have flagged your account. Again, they took the former president of the United States off of social media. He is now the current president of the United States. These are things the government did do. This was clear censorship. What ABC is doing is ABC made a decision as a private entity. They made the decision to suspend Jimmy Kimmel. There is no evidence that the FCC did anything but have the chairman make a comment on a podcast. To me, that doesn't count. Trump has said a lot of things about a lot of shows that are still on TV. Right? The FCC chairman was sharing an opinion. There was no letter sent to ABC or to their affiliates. That is a decision that ABC made. But we now know that the Biden administration was urging social media companies to block and to ban anyone that questioned the government's lockdowns, that questioned the vaccines, that mentioned ivermectin. That we know. So it is interesting how vocal they are now, but they had no problem taking control of your life and telling you where you could and couldn't go and telling you what you could and couldn't say. I know people, you know, there'll be people out there on the political left. Oh my, that was 5 years ago. Why are you still talking about it? Well, because there are education is still a mess, right? The lost year in school is still a problem. There are business owners that will never have their business again. There are businesses that have tried to recover, but they're not getting the foot traffic they got before COVID because it completely changed the landscape for many offices. So, yeah. You know, again, you had the governor of New York at the time, who's now running for mayor of New York City, tell you that you couldn't leave the state while he went around and was all over the country. So, you know, just to kind of put it all out there for you. Tonight, the Buffalo Bills are taking on the Miami Dolphins. And I have to say, I don't like Thursday night football. I know I'm taking the exact opposite stand that David took. I don't like Thursday night football, mostly because Thursday night football used to be the spotlight game for college football, right? That used to be where you would get some Big 12 matchup, ACC matchup. The SEC used to do Thursday night games. They don't anymore. The SEC is strictly on Saturday, except, you know, the first few weeks of the season, you might get a Friday night game in there. But the NFL decided they were going to put games on Thursday, and it kind of took that day college football had, that weekday college football had, away. Because, you know, no offense to the MAC, yeah, there's games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but there used to be a spotlight game at on Thursday night, and now the NFL has taken that away to the point where Rice and Charlotte are the college game tonight. With that being said, I'll be heading down to the stadium as soon as the show's over here. It's a divisional game, and anything can happen, and there's a lot of weight in the division game, just like Chris Brown said in Tom Puckett's update at 2:30. But the schedule kind of just feels blah, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'll get out there. I'll be loud. I'll be excited. But the schedule at this point feels very blah, right? They beat the Ravens. Great. Then it was the Jets. And it was like, well, if they don't beat the Jets, we have a problem here. Now it's the Dolphins, where if you lose, it's a problem. But everyone's expecting to win. And now, tomorrow, the discussion won't be the Bills won. The Bills will be, oh, how they won. Oh, the defense let up too many points. Ooh, Tua had too many passing yards. Like, if the Bills win tonight, unless it's 56-0, there will be criticisms of the, and that's how the schedule goes, really, until Atlanta, Tampa, right? You got Kansas City at the beginning of November, and I do believe Kansas City's, I don't think they're going to continue to lose. I think they'll be back in the picture in no time. But really, the Saints, come on. The Patriots on Sunday night, it really, maybe it's that Monday night game in Atlanta. We'll see how these next few games go for them. Tampa, obviously, Baker Mayfield. I mean, can you believe 3 years ago Baker Mayfield was on Carolina's practice team? I mean, can you believe that? And now he's in Tampa. He's doing pretty well in Tampa. And the Cleveland Browns have not recovered since they got rid of Baker Mayfield. But no, I'm excited for the Bills game tonight. I think they'll win convincingly. I see like a 30, again, second week in a row scoring 30, 30-17. And I think that I think the 7 of the 17 is some garbage time touchdown by the Dolphins. But yeah, I think the Bills take care of business at home tonight. They're home again next week. They're home again the week after that. So you get 3 home games in a row here. And yeah, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. Remember, if you don't have Amazon Prime, doesn't matter. You can watch it on Channel 7 WKBW. Tom Bowerly is going to be with you, getting you to the game, getting you home, and entertaining you as always. Tom, how you doing?
Oh, I'm going to try desperately to do so. I understand the Bills have actually signed Jimmy Kimmel to the practice squad, so he's not been out of a job for very long, just so you know. You know, I don't really, I'm not really into applauding when somebody in this business gets fired, gets whacked, gets clipped, whatever the case may be. But in light of what Jimmy Kimmel had to say about Tucker Carlson when Tucker Carlson lost his job, I think I'm a little less sympathetic to Jimmy Kimmel. And plus, I mean, dude was making enough money where I'm sure he's got a pretty nice nest egg, probably more than you and I together will make in our entire careers. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I think he's doing okay. And like you said, I mean, the way he treated Tucker Carlson, and if someone like you or I mean, he would be, you know, dancing all over it. I mean, he was all about conservatives getting silenced and getting banned and getting fired. So, yeah, I find it difficult to have any sympathy.
Well, I do have some sympathy, but it is ameliorated by his response to Tucker Carlson, who I think he said Tucker is now going to crawl back into the devil's butthole from which he came. And that's a little extreme. And I think, you know, a lot of people are missing the point here. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff, obviously, to say about it. First of all, you know, to me, Joe, I got to say, late night TV is anything after 8:30 at night. Can we just establish that?
Yes, yes.
Get off my lawn, by the way. And it's cold. I'm cold. Are you cold? Do you have a sweater, a sweatshirt? I need a blanket for my legs.
I never thought I'd get to the age where, like, you know, okay, the Bills are playing a night game, and it's like, man, am I going to be awake to drive home when this game's over? Because
yeah, dude,
it's
so these late. Night games suck. Yes, I'm sorry. They do. Football should be 1 or 4 o'clock on a Sunday. That's it.
Preach, preach. I am 100%. Tom, 2 years ago, I'd be arguing that with you. Now it's like, please, I love 1 and 4 o'clock games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people have to work. People have to get up and go to work. I wonder what the absentee rate is going to be like tomorrow. But I was thinking, if the Bills did win 56-0, then everybody on the postgame show would be calling in drunk saying, yeah, but now they're going to think they're better than they really are. They're going to believe their press clippings, and they're going to fall down to the job in a week and a half.
That's exactly right. They're going
to
be.
And they'll probably try to punctuate that with some profanity, and you know, they're going to have to say, moving on to another call.
Yeah, if it's 56-0, Tom, they need to have someone on that button over at WGR tonight.
Hey, if it's 56-0 for the Dolphins, they're really going to have somebody on the button.
Oh, yeah, I might even call in.
You don't get inebriated. So, yeah, we'll talk about the Jimmy Kimmel thing. And who knows, along the way, we might throw in some other stuff as well. But I think, you know, people are missing the point, I think, about Trump and the presidency. And they're missing sight of the bigger picture. They're all, everybody seems to be focused in on what the president has said about Jimmy Kimmel, but they're losing sight of the spirit of the times. As my UB professors used to say, the zeitgeist. We have a very fractured country. And I think what Trump is really against right now is people who are fracturing the country and dividing the country. In light of the fact, and this is an important consideration, in light of the fact that the overwhelming majority of media and television happen to be left biased.
Yes, for sure. That's why Joe Manchin always said, you know, the country's center right and the TV is way center left, or not even center left, just left.
Well, I'm going to become a communist so I can fit in with the rest of the media, Joe.
Tom Bowerly will, Tom, looking forward to it. And you'll be my tailgate. I can't wait. Tom Bowerly will be
that's
there.
Desperate. I thought it would be Boys to Men.
No, that's you know, that's after Puckett. The last hour of the tailgate will be Boys to Men, of course.
Tom, if you get beat up, don't come crying to me.
Tom Bowerly is coming up next. If you're going to be at the game, you hear a tailgate blasting Tom's show. That's my tailgate. We'll be there. Tom will be your tailgate. And looking forward to that after the news with Tom Puckett. I will see you tomorrow. I'm not taking tomorrow off. I will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Yes, tomorrow I'll officially be in my late 30s. We'll talk about that here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.